Greetings once again from Denver, Colorado, the city right here in the middle of it all. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome to the show, where we take the events of the week and focus them through the lens of original thought. So good to have you back for another week. I just got off the phone with a friend of mine who is going to do his first guest host bit on the radio, and I gave him some Radio 101 pointers, and I'll have to tune in later this week and see how he did. I told him, you got to sit on the edge of your seat so that you're a little bit uncomfortable and then speak a little more loudly than you would in typical conversation. And also, don't be like National Public Radio and put people to sleep. You've got to project some level of excitement out there so people want to listen. And we'll see how he does. It's not as easy as you might think, ladies and gentlemen. Has anyone noticed? Is it just me? I'll ask my extremely attractive audio engineer. Is it just me, or has anyone else noticed that every time Barry Ho gets off an airplane or a helicopter, there's a WM saluting him? Have you noticed this? A WM, by the way, for the uninitiated, that's a woman Marine. I mean, that's what we used to call them back, gosh, I guess it's 20 years ago now, when I was a part of that noble outfit. But has anyone noticed that, or is it just me? Is it just something that jumps out at me? I just don't seem to remember that. And maybe I'm just overly sensitive, but I don't know. The whole diversity thing just seems to be going a bit too far, and we'll get into that as we go on into the broadcast today. Has anybody seen the Joy Behar show on CNN? Has anybody seen this program? I cannot believe that this person has a television program. I don't know where this person came from. I don't know who she is. But it's like a Saturday Night Live skit turned into a real show. Because I happened to catch a rather funny impression of her on Saturday Night Live this past week. And it's as if she's doing the comedian doing her. It's just embarrassing. Joy Behar. If anyone out there can tell me who is this person and where is she from and why does she have a TV show, I want to know. Because it's just, to me, it's a sign of the collapse, of the further collapse of Western civilization. If this show lasts through the winter, I may leave the country. Oh, yeah. I may shoot my satellite dish, or I may do an Elvis and just shoot the television. Anyway, another thing that's got me annoyed this week, these Ashley Madison commercials. Is anyone familiar with the Ashley Madison commercials? Ashley Madison are divorce attorneys. And they have some of the most grotesque commercials on the air when divorce isn't an option. Can I describe? I don't even know if I can describe them. I think one of them goes... one of them is about a one-night stand that lasts your whole life. Something like that. Anyway, I'm convinced that if someone doesn't rein in Madison Avenue, that the young kids in charge of advertising these days are going to take advertising to a place, well, let's just say it's something you would have only experienced in Times Square in the 1970s or in Greenwich Village in the 1960s. That's where advertising is headed. It's disgusting. It's gross. It's out of hand, and that's got me annoyed this week. What else has me annoyed? Well, there's a major annoyance. In fact, big news around our household this past week. My extremely attractive audio engineer made the discovery that the toilet paper rolls that we purchased this week are 3/4 inch shorter than the old rolls. Now, the rolls aren't thinner. There aren't fewer squares, as far as we know, although we didn't count the squares. But the roll has noticeably less width than it did in the past, 3/4 of an inch. I don't want to sit down and do the math and try to figure out how much of a difference that makes in my life, but it's a sign of the economic times. You've heard that companies are downsizing products. Things that you used to buy that weighed 12 ounces now weigh 10.8 ounces. And now the toilet paper is 3/4 of an inch shorter. And I'm just not sure I like that. I'm not for that. I mean, that's a sign. I mean, perhaps the recession is over, but the effects are lingering. And we may never go back. We may never get back to a full-size roll. And that's just sad. Other big news. This was, I know how important that story is, but let me move on. I had an, a life moment with my 8-year-old daughter. She's growing up so quickly. The other day, I took young Nicole, who's 8, and her little sister Zoe, who's almost 3, and we went to McDonald's, to the play place, where I purchased 2 Happy Meals for the children. Cheeseburger Happy Meals, by the way. And after the kids were eating and they began to play a little bit, Nicole dipped into the bag for the prize. You know, there's a prize in your Happy Meal at McDonald's. And she looked at it and she said, "Daddy, you know, I don't think I want the prizes from the Happy Meals anymore. They're cheesy. Just give it to Zoe." And I thought, this is a milestone in Nicole's life. She's not into the Happy Meal prizes anymore.
She hasn't been in here for years.
Well, I hadn't noticed. And here's the other thing. She doesn't want Mom to cut her bangs anymore. She doesn't want bangs.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't want to be a little girl. She wants to let her hair grow long, and now she's actually starting to style it to some degree. And it's just, I suppose it had to happen. But I don't know. I prefer that they would all stay about, I don't know, somewhere between 3 and 10 forever. But that's just not going to happen. And so the big events here at the household. The Happy Meal prizes are cheesy. The toilet paper rolls are getting more and more narrow. The woman Marines are saluting Barry Ho when he gets off the plane. I mean, the whole world is gone insane. I don't know if I can take it. And now let's go to the news. If you think that's all crazy, listen to this. From the London Daily Mail, the Hadron Collider, the super collider that you may or may not be familiar with, they call it the God Machine. Have you heard of this? It's a super collider designed to collide particles at such high speeds that we can discover particles that are smaller than anything we've ever seen. It's all really neat. But I remember being offended initially when I heard it called the God Machine and that they were looking for the God Particle. Because these are a bunch of people who don't even believe in God. I mean, they're Europeans, for crying out loud. Well, the London Daily Mail says that the 4.4 billion pound God Machine, and that's not how much it weighs, that's how much it costs in British money. For all you public school educators, the pound sterling is the official British currency at this point. They've not yet gone to the euro, as far as I know. So the 4.4 billion pound God Machine overheated after a passing bird dropped a piece of bread into a high voltage installation which was powering a cooling unit. It's just hilarious. The God Machine. A bird dropped a piece of a baguette roll onto it, and the thing collapses. Scientists, looking into the failure of the cryogenic cooling plant, indeed found a piece of a baguette had caused the malfunction. Now, the Hadron Collider, it attempts, according to physicists, they're attempting to recreate conditions at the time of the Big Bang by firing protons around this big 17-mile tunnel, firing these protons around at almost the speed of light, and then they smash them into each other. And this is supposed to tell us how everything sprung from nothing, the Big Bang. It's supposed to tell us that. I'm not sure how, because, I mean, there's particles involved, and I'd like to know where the particles came from. But somehow the physicists tell us this is going to give us an insight into the beginnings of the universe, which apparently sprung into existence out of nothing. Now, The Hadron Collider has had a bit of a checkered history. There's been a series of technical glitches. Yeah. And because of this series of technical glitches, some members of the scientific world are speculating that the Hadron Collider is being sabotaged by itself. The Hadron Collider is sabotaging itself. Listen to this. Some physicists have said that time-traveling particles from the future could be damaging the machine in an attempt to thwart the experiments. Now, this is, I'm not making this up. I don't have the time to go into the names and the quotations, but these are physicists. I said physicists, not alchemists, okay? These are physicists. And you just got to ask yourself, how do the smartest people in the world seriously think, number one, that time travel is possible? You know? How does that happen? Now, isn't it commonly thought that someone with a PhD in physics is obviously smarter than you are? I mean, they're obviously smarter than I am. They got a PhD in physics. Well, they think time travel is possible. And it's just bizarre to me. I'm going to give you my theory, and I'm just a layman. I don't understand physics. But this is my theory on time, okay? And if there are people out there who are smarter than I am, who can point me in the right direction and tell me where I'm wrong, please feel free to do so. My theory on time is that time is simply a byproduct of existence. Yeah, it's a byproduct of life. And while how it is measured and how it's perceived can be distorted, it's my theory that time itself, at least as a physical property, does not exist. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am Doug McBurney, and we're back. And we're going to move immediately from some lighthearted stuff, I suppose. Do I want to do... I've got the domestic tranquility file here. I suppose I should go ahead and do it. It's depressing to do this file, but I have to document the state of domestic tranquility in the United States of America as our justice system and as our governing officials have allowed it to degrade. From Hackensack, New Jersey, a jury convicted a Florida man last Friday of murdering his former son-in-law, rejecting the man's defense that he was too fat to have run up and down a flight of stairs to commit the crime and make a quick getaway. The killer's name is Edward Ates, and he shot Paul Dunsack 6 times at his home and indeed made a getaway. Now, the killer was 62 years old, 5'8", and weighed approximately 285 pounds at the time of the murder. And while the media focused on this story because of the fat angle, the jury didn't buy any of it, proving that even a broken clock is right twice a day. The jury system is a disaster. Finding the lowest common denominator and a pool of 12 completely vacuous morons to judge a case is no way to find justice. But once in a while, it appears to work. They didn't buy the fat defense. A story from the San Francisco Chronicle. You may have followed this story. About 2 weeks ago, there was a gang assault of a girl and 10 or more boys at Richmond High School up there in Northern California. This will give you some insight into the state of domestic tranquility at our public schools. The 15-year-old victim, female, she attended church, and she wanted to be a police scout. She left a school dance 2 Saturdays ago. She walked by a group of bad boys who were boozing it up in the courtyard, and she accepted their invitation to hang out. And that was not her first mistake, but that was a big mistake. Now, this is a big school. It has a 1,600 students in the student body. The San Francisco Chronicle tells us that the students there are now wrestling to make sense of what happened. The girl was assaulted for several hours by at least 10 or more young boys and men. The security specialist there at Richmond High, he says, we know about that courtyard. This was a dimly lit courtyard, according to San Francisco Chronicle. The head of security at the high school, which that right there should give you some pause. There is a head of security at the local high school. That's scary right there. He says, we know that courtyard. We've been waiting for something to happen there. So another example of how governing officials tolerate a certain level of rebellion, of violence, of bloodshed. They tolerate it. They knew what was going on. They knew this is where the bad kids hung out. This is where they smoked dope. This is where they drank. This is where they cussed. This is where they compared tattoos or body piercings or whatever it is the scum of the earth does these days at the local public high school. We knew about it. We've been waiting for something to happen. Well, Mr. Johnson, head of security, something has indeed happened. Teachers and students at the school, meanwhile, at least partially blame the attack on the lack of lighting, sturdy fencing, or security cameras in the courtyard. Talk about willful blindness and willful ignorance. You've got a population of people who have been completely separated from a knowledge of their creator. They've been taught they evolved from slime, that they're basically animals, and that life is ruled by the dictum, the strong overcome the weak. Natural selection, all of that. Only the strong survive. And you're worried about fencing. You're worried about lighting and security cameras. It's a problem in the soul, ladies and gentlemen. And any parent who sends their kids to any public school, frankly, this one in particular, is willfully blind, willfully suspending disbelief. District officials at the school, just in case you were worried up there in Richmond, at Richmond High, district officials confirmed plans to install higher fences around the entire school before next summer and to firm up security in general. Now, Jay Lenhardy, who's a nationally recognized community organizer, whatever that is, who heads Richmond's Youth Works, he says maybe this can represent a teachable moment if people pay attention. And I agree wholeheartedly with Jay, the community organizer. This could represent a teachable moment. If people will just pay attention to what is actually occurring in the public schools, the dehumanization of our children. Well, your children, not mine. Let's move on. That story just, man, that really is a bad one. That hurts. From Albuquerque, New Mexico, a six-minute 911 call has been obtained by the Associated Press detailing the moments last August 27th, this past August 27th, a night when a 13-year-old New Mexico boy allegedly shot his father in the head with a shotgun. The boy says he shot his father because he got angry at him. The 911 tape is chilling. The boy says, get over here. Get a doctor over here. It looks like he's dying after he shot his father in the head with a shotgun. The boy's attention then turns to his sister. Don't worry, he gently tells the girl before telling the operator, oh, my sister, she's crying her head off. I think I hear sirens. The father was divorced and had custody of the boy and his two siblings. 13 years old. Dateline San Jose, California. San Jose police say they have arrested three teenagers in the shooting of a 12-year-old boy and the stabbing of his 13-year-old friend while they were trick-or-treating on Halloween. The boy who was shot remains hospitalized in grave condition at last report. His 13-year-old friend was released from a hospital. Dateline Mendota, California, from the Associated Press. Prosecutors have filed murder and other charges against a 14-year-old boy accused in the death of a 4-year-old neighbor boy. The 14-year-old has been charged as an adult with sodomy, kidnapping, and murder of a witness to prevent his testimony. The little boy, Alex, was drowned before being stuffed into a clothes dryer where the police found his body by a 14-year-old. Anyway, I'm going to move out of the domestic tranquility file at this point. I want to move on to something that may not make me want to rage and scream. This is interesting. In fact, since we've been talking about the public schools, this is not a bad segue. Susanna Pabla was suspended last month from her public school out in Bountiful, Utah, for violating a body-piercing ban that they have there at the school. She's Indian, and I don't mean American Indian. Oh, that's Native American. I'm sorry. I mean Indian from India, as in she escaped one of the worst hellholes on the planet and made it to the United States of America. That India. You know, with the dots on the forehead, stuff like that, okay? She wanted to pierce her nose, but the school officials, they looked into her claim that it had a relationship to her culture and her religion, and they said, look, this in India, nose piercing is a cultural choice, not a religious requirement, but they did compromise with her. They said she could wear a clear, unobtrusive stud in her nose. Now, how do you put an unobtrusive stud in your nose? I mean, if you have something stuck through your nose, to me, that's obtrusive. You know? I mean, can you imagine what kind of muck gathers on a stud in your nose as you go through the day? Can you imagine the buildup around the piece that's on the inside of the nostril? I mean, just think about that. I mean, why compromise with the kid? Tell her it's a matter of just cleanliness and being sanitary. You know, think about what you're doing to yourself, you moron. But that's not the point of the article. What was the point of the article? Anyway, they said you can put this clear stud in your nose, and she returned to her seventh grade class. She's a seventh grader, and she wants to poke holes in her face. We have a quote from Susanna. She says, I wanted to feel more closer to my family in India because I really love my family. More closer. You know, her high school teachers might want to focus on English grammar a little more with Susanna. And, you know, instead of compromising with her on the nose piercing, maybe try to teach her how to speak. I wanted to feel more closer to my family. Another public school product. Poor, she's a victim. She's a victim of the public school. She's only in seventh grade. She doesn't realize that she sounds like a complete idiot because everyone around her sounds like an idiot. And her teachers, they tolerate children who speak like morons. And so she is a victim. Do we have any violin music for the victim? We don't. That's okay. We'll move on. From the Culture File, Dateline Los Angeles, California, from the Associated Press, the Los Angeles Student Council has given preliminary approval to an ordinance that would ban the declawing of cats. Yes, this brave action on the part of the Los Angeles Student Council follows a similar action by the Beverly Hills Student Council. Council members describe the procedure, declawing of cats, as unnecessary and as abject animal cruelty. You heard me right, abject animal cruelty. Student Council President Eric Garcetti added an urgency clause to the ordinance so it can take effect before New Year's Day in 2010. Those Los Angeles Student Council members are a brave lot, are they not? an urgency ordinance so it can take effect before another cat is mutilated before New Year's. By the way, the cities of Santa Monica and San Francisco have also given preliminary approval to declawing bans. They're banning the declawing of cats. The city of West Hollywood outlawed declawing back in 2003. This is a confirmation of the quotation from Gualberto Garcia Jones, head of Personhood USA. I'm sorry, the head of Personhood Colorado. Gualberto, in announcing the Colorado Personhood Initiative this year, said he was holding his son, 3 days old, and he said, 4 days ago, dogs and cats had more rights than my son. And he's absolutely confirmed here by the student councils there in Los Angeles, Santa Monica, San Francisco, and West Hollywood. All right. Speaking of personhood, I've got an interesting quote. My other brother, Daryl, answered a blog. The blog was called Scary People. It comes from, actually, it's not a blog. It's a news article from a newspaper called The Summit. I don't know where it's from. I don't care. But the article's called Scary People. And the author says, according to a story in the Colorado Independent, those personhood initiative people want to protect fertilized embryos. Fertilized embryos, yeah. And this initiative, what else does the author say? This initiative would block any other procedures that curtail life post-conception, including stem cell research and even in vitro fertilization processes. Personhood advocates waste all our time with these misguided measures. And to which my other brother Daryl replied, first of all, there is no such movement to give human eggs status or any rights. There is no such thing as a fertilized embryo. An embryo is already developing. We don't fertilize embryos. What, have you been talking to Bill Clinton? And in regards to the comment that personhood advocates waste all our time with these misguided measures, he says, if Prop 48, if personhood had passed last year in Colorado, would you be asking your side to give up and do something more productive? I think not. Good job, my other brother, Daryl. Anyway, count the straw men again. In vitro fertilization, stem cell research. You know, anything to avoid the question, what is it? What is it? Is it a baby? Is it a dog? Is it a frog? Is it a log? What is it? That's the question we want to answer. And since I mentioned it, let's go to, well, this is from the Denver Daily News. Arvada-based Personhood USA, a pro-life movement with the virtual goal of banning abortion by defining a person as every human being from the beginning of the biological development of that human being. I just want to stop right there. It's not a virtual goal. It's an admitted goal. That is our goal, to ban abortion. We're not trying to sneak it in the back door. What does the author here say? Every personhood attempt... Oh, I'm sorry. This is a quote from Keith Mason, founder of Personhood USA. He says, every personhood attempt is a success. We're growing by leaps and bounds, and every attempt offers new opportunities to educate Americans about the value of life. Monica McCafferty, a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood, I use that term loosely, but I will grant her personhood. She's a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood. She says opposition is already mobilizing. Yeah. So Planned Parenthood is already beginning to spend time and treasure against personhood. And that's good news. That's why every effort is a victory. We educate people and we get those who advocate the murder of innocent people, legalized murder, we get them to spend money not murdering people, but fighting us. Let's see. Opponents of personhood raise fears over the possibility that the ballot initiative, essentially banning abortion, would pave the way for a challenge of Roe versus Wade, setting a precedent for cases across the country. Hallelujah! Whoever wrote this article, at least they understand the underlying strategy. We're abandoning the strategery of the Republicans in trying to regulate abortion and in trying to appoint judges and elect officials who will end abortion. And we're going for the jugular. We want to confront Roe versus Wade. We want to see that argument. We want to hear the debate. in the chambers of the Supreme Court where personhood is argued against the emanation of that penumbra. The Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and I got one more story for personhood. This is from womenissuesatabout.com. It's a blog from some unknown blogger, but I had to address it because of the headline. The headline reads, "Placenta as Person. Colorado's Personhood Amendment Ignores Basic Biology and Legal Issues." When I saw that headline, "Placenta as Person," I stopped on a dime. I had to read what's going on here. The author says, in the early stages of fetal development, only a small portion of the cells actually become the baby. The other portion becomes the placenta, and it's often called an afterbirth. Afterbirth arises from embryonic tissue, but it is not a person. So personhood amendments, in effect, are elevating the cells of the zygote by labeling all of them a person, when many of them will never grow into a human being and lack the potential to do so. In fact, can anyone tell the difference between the cells of the zygote that will become the fetus and those that will develop into the placenta? I can't tell. So I don't want to chop any of them out. Yeah, right? I mean, I can't tell, and I don't know, to be honest with you, if embryologists can tell. But I can tell you this, that if they can't tell now, someday we will be able to tell. So, I mean, it's another straw man. It's another straw man they've constructed. She says, let me finish with her. She says, as for the fetus itself, cell differentiation doesn't begin until after day 6 following conception. So I have a question for the author. Would she then draw the line at day 6? Would she be willing to do that, do you think? Do you think she'd be willing to draw the line at day 6? Well, she also says, what rational, intelligent, thinking human being would say, yes, I agree that the rights of the 50 to 70 trillion cells of the mother should be superseded by the rights of the 32-celled zygote, when it's not even clear which of those cells will become a baby and which will become the placenta, which will be thrown out after birth? Well, which cells would you throw out and which cells would you not? I say let's not throw any out. And if we're going to draw the line at when someone becomes a person, I want to be safe. Let's draw it at the beginning, because then we can do no harm. Wouldn't you agree? I don't think the woman who wrote this article would agree. And so I'm going to say something that's shocking, but I'm going to say it because I believe this is a seminal issue in our culture, and I believe that people need to understand the gravity of the situation and the nature of the enemy, the nature of the people who have legalized murder. You need to understand who you are fighting. I posted my comment on her blog, and here's what my comment said. First, you sound scared and confused about biology. Placenta is so far the most dehumanizing term I've heard applied to unborn babies. Congratulations, you win the Goebbels Prize of the Week. Now, hold on to your hats, folks. Remember the headline to her blog. Placenta as Person, Colorado Personhood Amendment Ignores Basic Biology and Legal Issues. I said, your headline is akin to saying nigger as person. Colorado's personhood amendment ignores basic biology and legal issues. That's exactly what it's akin to. You witch. You scum of the earth. You murderer. You were a liar from the beginning. Get ye behind me. It's the same thing. These are the same people. The same people who insisted not only that we could own black men as slaves, but that we could also selectively breed out the undesirables, which is what they considered black people. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Google it, folks. These are the same people. And it's the same mindset. And that's why this battle is so critical at this time in our history. So don't let history pass you by, ladies and gentlemen. Get on board. Pick sides. Because on Judgment Day, God is going to know which side you were on, and you are going to give an account to your Creator for where you stood on the legalized murder of innocent people, whether they were in the womb, whether they were old and sick, whether they were Jewish or black, whether they were inconvenient or extremely productive. You will be held to account. Every man will give an account. All right, now I want to move out of. Now, I understand that the personhood movement is primarily a Christian movement, and there may be some listeners to the show who are not Christians, and I think I may have found one of the biggest reasons why. I recently added a channel to my favorites, KWHD TV 53, LaCie Broadcasting, an allegedly Christian broadcasting station. What I saw over the past couple of days, I tuned in, they have every day, they have a criminal on the air, a criminal, a charlatan, a con man who comes on the air, at various con men, and they have a telethon going all the time where they get on and they say, if you will plant $1,000 seed, I will intercede with the Lord and you will be one of his favored 40. We're looking for a favored 40. And I'll say a prayer for you. And the host goes on to promise some of the most outlandish, outrageous things to people who will plant that $1,000 seed. He should be arrested, frankly. I mean, this is a crime to me, being committed on the air. A man getting up saying, if you send a TV station $1,000, God is going to smile on you. He's going to heal your leg. He's going to bring your son back from heroin addiction. He's going to save your business. He's going to bless your finances. He's going to return to you 40-fold. It's a crime. LaCie Broadcasting, their executives should be, there should be a raid on their facilities, and they should be arrested and tried as thieves and criminals. What was the other one? There was the favored 40. You had to give $1,000 for that. The other was you could be a part of Gideon's 300, and they only wanted $500 to be a part of Gideon's 300. But the same promises. You'll be healed. Your finances will be saved. It's a crime. And so if there are any atheists in my audience, and I hope there are, I mean, I hope you don't stay atheist, but I hope I can attract at least a few people from outside my worldview. Please do not associate Christianity, Jesus Christ, the living God, the creator of the universe, with the criminals at LaCie Broadcasting who should be arrested. I'm gonna write a letter. In fact, I may start a campaign to find out why it is states' attorney generals, or indeed the attorney general of the United States, has not looked into investigating, raiding, and shutting down these criminal enterprises under RICO laws. It's unbelievable what is going on. It's embarrassing, and it is an affront to the living God. LaCie Broadcasting, L-E-S-E-A. Write it down. Look into them. They're criminals. They should be arrested. All right, I actually didn't mean to go on and on about that, but I'm very upset. Anyway, let's move into the justice file. Boy, I'm not sure which story I want to start with because let's start in Denver since we're here in Denver, the city right here in the middle of it all. Denver police, 2 weeks ago, destroyed the vehicle of 37-year-old Balas Toth. I don't know why it is that people associated with these bizarre stories always have weird names. This guy's name is spelled B-A-L-A-Z-S-T-O-T-H. Balas Toth. Why couldn't it be Fred Smith or Frank D'Angelo? Just so I could pronounce it. It's always some kind of bizarro name. Anyway, police destroyed the vehicle of 37-year-old Balas Toth two Tuesdays ago, saying that the vehicle is a public nuisance. Now, Toth also received a 90-day jail sentence. He was accused of going online to try to lure a child to a McDonald's parking lot. Need I say more? He was convicted. So what do the police do with Balas Toth? They sentence him to 90 days in jail where he can hang out with other deviants, lift weights, get high, go to the library, sleep a lot. And they crush his vehicle, calling it a public nuisance. Toth was sentenced in June and also received 5 years of probation. So 5 years of probation, 90 days in jail, and a couple weeks ago they crushed his car. And to great fanfare, by the way, as an act of justice being served, they crushed his car. It's very creative, don't get me wrong. I can appreciate the creativity of the morons in the Denver justice system. I can appreciate their creativity. The efficacy, however, is in doubt. Now, on the other side of the coin, Dateline Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, from the Reuters Wire, a Saudi court upheld a ruling to behead and crucify a 22-year-old man convicted of assaulting five children and leaving one of them to die in the desert. How effective do you think that will be as to at least preventing this particular child predator from reoffending? I mean, how do you think that compares to crushing the guy's car and 90 days in jail and 5 years probation? They're going to behead and crucify him. International rights groups, according to the Reuters article, have accused the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia of applying draconian justice, beheading murderers, rapists, and drug traffickers in public. And by the way, in Saudi Arabia, crucifixion means tying the body of the convict to wooden beams to be displayed to the public after beheading. Yeah. And so, isn't it a shame? You know, Islam is a false religion. And I'm convinced that it is actually the modern satanic religion. I'm convinced of that. You know, I'm not dogmatic about it. But I'm convinced that it's satanic and it's evil. But Islam, like so many pagan religions, is a distortion of true religion. And the laws of Islam are distortions and exaggerations of the laws that were given by the living God of the universe for the good of all mankind. The death penalty for murderers, rapists, and drug traffickers is appropriate. It is appropriate. In fact, the public execution of such capital offenders is also appropriate. Now, the crucifixion, tying the body to a wooden beam to be displayed to the public after the beheading. Now, the beheading, I'm all for. The crucifixion, I'm willing to negotiate on that. But in the case of this person, this 22-year-old Saudi man convicted of things I can't even talk about against five children and then leaving one of them to die in the desert, I'm not sure I would even be willing to forego the crucifixion on that. Anyway, it's a shame what's happening in the United States. There is an explosion, a pandemic of predators assaulting our children. And here are the morons in Denver taking to the lectern, announcing how they've crushed this maniac's car. This guy should be publicly executed, trying to lure a kid to McDonald's to do unspeakable things. Instead, we have to go to Saudi Arabia to get some idea of justice. And, you know, like Islam, they take everything too far. One more from the justice file. Dateline Galveston, Texas. 2 years after the remains of Riley Ann Sawyer were found, the girl became known as Baby Grace. She remained unidentified for years. The child's stepfather has been convicted of capital murder in her beating death. The stepfather and the mother beat Riley with belts, dunked her head in cold bath water, and threw her onto a tile floor, fracturing her skull. An autopsy determined the child died of several skull fractures. The stepfather, Royce Clyde Ziegler II, was convicted of capital murder on Friday and will receive an automatic life sentence without parole because prosecutors decided not to seek the death penalty. So why did the prosecutors not decide to seek the death penalty in this particularly heinous case? There's really no explanation. Maybe they just decided to phone it in that day. They just, you know, the death penalty is it's a difficult, demanding trial, and we're just government functionaries and bureaucrats, and we fail to recognize that on Judgment Day, when every one of us stands before the living God of the universe, our Creator, we will be held accountable for the responsibilities we were given. And the prosecutors who phoned it in the case of Riley Ann Sawyer herself will be there to judge them and to hold them to account for what they've done, allowing Royce Clyde Ziegler to live when any sane person knows that Royce Clyde Ziegler should be put to death. Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. We are round and third, headed for home. Glad to have you with us this week. I want to move back into the culture file. I suppose this is uplifting. I got a certain jolt from it when I saw it. Dateline New York, the Associated Press. The Navy is commissioning its newest battleship with a bow forged from the steel that once held up the World Trade Center. If you haven't seen this ship, this is a bad-looking ship. This is a ship that looks like destruction on the seas. I mean, you would not want to mess with this ship. What an awesome-looking boat. I mean, when I saw it, I got a chill up my spine, as should every red-blooded American. I tell you what. It's called the USS New York, and it's scheduled to be placed into active service. In fact, it was scheduled into active service. I saw the dedication this morning, and that chill that went up my spine, it was somewhat mitigated, unfortunately, as I saw that the ship was dedicated by Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton and New York Governor David Patterson. So, you can imagine my distaste at seeing this battleship built from the steel from the World Trade Center in the background behind Hillary Clinton standing beside David Patterson. I mean, it was surreal. It was just surreal. But anyway, what a great-looking ship. I can't wait to hear who are the first group of bad guys that ship blows out of the water or off the land? Or I think that ship can even knock things out of space. I mean, that is one bad-looking ship. That was awesome. Yeah. David Patterson, like, doddering around on the stage trying to find out where he's going. I think he might have bumped into the bow of the ship. Anyway, let's... Dateline Tokyo, Japan, from the Telegraph in London. a Japanese fishing trawler has been sunk by a giant jellyfish. Yeah. The crew of the fishing boat was thrown into the sea when the vessel capsized, but three men were rescued by another trawler, according to the Mainichi newspaper in Japan. The local Coast Guard office reported that the weather was clear and the sea was calm at the time of the accident. Now, these jellyfish, they're called Nomura jellyfish. After apparently that's a geographic location. Can you help me out? Am I okay on that? Okay. They grow up to 2 meters in diameter, and they have arms and legs, or whatever, what do you call them, tentacles, long enough to grab hold of a ship, a boat, and pull it over underwater. Oh my. It's terrifying. Anyway, I saw this story, and I desperately wanted to report on this story, and I couldn't think of any way to fit it into the events of the week or the politics or culture or anything. But then the House of Representatives passed the health care reform bill. And all I could think of was America, the free market, the red, white, and blue, mom, Chevrolet, and apple pie is represented by this fishing trawler. And Nancy Pelosi, and who's the homosexual freak congressman whose name escapes me with no teeth? Barney Frank. Thank you. Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi represent the jellyfish. They're terrifying. Anyway, I'm glad I was able to work that in, because that was just, I've never heard of a jellyfish that was able to actually drag a ship underwater. But I have heard of bills in the Congress capable of destroying the free market and a nation. I saw it happen this past Saturday night. Terrifying, terrifying times. Let's see. People are upset over Obama's reaction to the shootings at Fort Hood. He apparently came out after the attack was national news, and he was at some Native American festival or some such affair, and he gave a shout-out to Dr. Joe Medicine Crow, who he called a Medal of Honor winner. Turns out Joe Medicine Crow is not a Medal of Honor winner. He received the Civilian Medal of Freedom, which is the nation's highest civilian award, as opposed to the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is the nation's highest military award. He received a Civilian Medal of Freedom from Barry Ho himself just a few months ago. I mean, I heard that Barry Ho smokes, but I don't know what he's smoking. The guy's got some issues, okay? And that, and after he gives his shout-out to this non-existent medicine man, then he gets on to weeping and crying about how sad he is at the tragedy in Fort Hood, which the paper here calls appropriate. I think it's inappropriate. I'm angry about it myself. I'm angry about the killing. I want to get to the bottom of it, and I want to personally strangle the guy who did the killing. I'm angry. I'm not sad. It's not a tragedy. Anyway, back to Obama's speech. The author of the article here in the newspaper says, if the president's communication apparatus can inform and protect their boss during tense moments when the country needs to see a focused commander-in-chief and a compassionate head of state, it has disastrous consequences for that president's party and supporters. Ladies and gentlemen, if a president can't relate and is not a real person, that's when he needs a communications apparatus. Okay? A real man, a real president, wouldn't need much of a communications apparatus. Okay, he could just respond like a human being to situations. Like when someone slaughters a bunch of American troops who are standing in line to get their shots, he could say, I'm really angry, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and we're going to kill and destroy whoever was involved in this. And then a few weeks later, we could be sad and we could have a memorial. But our initial reaction, unless you need a communications apparatus, your initial reaction should be to be very angry and to want vengeance. To exact vengeance and destruction upon those involved. And if you don't have that reaction, you've been sissified. You're a girly man. And you're not qualified to lead this country. You're not qualified to run a hot dog stand, for crying out loud. You're not qualified to shine shoes at the airport. Do I want to get into Barry Ho? When Barry Ho did his Saturday address after the shootings at Fort Hood, after the murders, after the terrorist attack on American soil, what did he bring up? He said he honored the 13 killed and the 30 wounded. By the way, there was 29 wounded. You shouldn't be counting the killer as one of the wounded. Okay, there was 29 wounded and the killer was wounded. Anyway, he lauded the armed services' diversity in a move that the White House says is designed to calm tensions about the suspected shooters. About the suspected shooter. Why would we want to calm tension about the shooter? Shouldn't we hate him? Shouldn't we want to kill him? Isn't he the enemy? I mean, maybe I have unhealthy anger issues. But when someone murders a bunch of guys who are standing in line to get their shots and to get their ears inspected before they get deployed to fight against the bad guys in Afghanistan, I'm angry. I'm in a rage. I want to kill that guy. And if the leader of our military wants to calm tensions about the suspected shooter, by the way, he's not a suspected shooter. There's 100 people who saw him do it, and he'll swear to it in court. And they should be doing that tomorrow afternoon, if not yesterday. Anyway, he says of the victims, they are Americans of every race, faith, and station. They are Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, and non-believers, says Barry Ho. Always pulling the race card from the bottom of the deck, this scumbag, Barry Ho. Unbelievable. He says the shootings were an act of violence that would have been heartbreaking had it occurred any place in America. It's a crime that would have horrified us had its victims been Americans of any background. Barry, stop telling us about our background. Stop bringing up the background. We know you're black. You don't have to keep telling us. You don't have to keep rubbing it. You don't have to keep rubbing our nose in the fact that you're black. We know you're black. I don't really care that you're black, Barry. Leave my background out of it. I'm Irish. Big deal. We're Americans. And Americans were attacked by a terrorist, an Islamic fundamentalist terrorist, Barry. And we don't want to calm tensions right now. President of the United States. Unbelievable. What else? We're almost out of time. Michelle Obama has a staff of 22 people, ranging in salary from $36,000 to $172,000 a year. Hillary Clinton had a paid staff of 3. One of the most megalomaniacal women in the history of American politics had a paid staff of 3. Michelle Obama has 22 paid staff members. Look it up. I think I put a link to it. I hope I put a link. I will put a link to it. Sarah Palin gave her long-awaited address to pro-lifers in Wisconsin, and she praised the anti-abortion movement for legislative advances achieved over time. And I'm thinking, what advances, Sarah? What world are you living in? Are you taking smoke breaks with Barry Ho? What are you guys smoking? And the House passed the Democrat health care bill. And they say they took out public funding for abortion and they're going to honor current laws. Ladies and gentlemen, under current law, Planned Parenthood receives 1/3 of its money, which, by the way, they're $1 billion a year operation. They get about 1/3 of that from federal grants and state governments. So they already get 1/3 of their money from the government. By the way, Planned Parenthood performed 305,310 abortions in 2007. And they get about 1/3 of their money in government grants and contracts, about $350 million a year. So for those of you who don't think that the health care bill is going to include the legalized murder of innocent people, you're naive, you're a moron, you're not qualified to vote, you're not qualified to drive, you should be asked to leave the country. That's it. I'm out of here. That's the worldview. I want to thank Denver Bible Church, KGOV Radio, KGov.com, Personage USA, American Right to Life, Colorado Right to Life, Theology Online, and of course my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, and of course, my extremely, extremely attractive audio engineer. I'll be back with you next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.